kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
So this is the track listing for the Stemmage Pinball Arcade album.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
So officially I'm licensed by Farsight Studios.
Yes, absolutely. Totally. it's a soundtrack downloadable on Steam. I'm doing definitely music from High Speed because it's too easy not to rock out. Pinbot is my favorite pinball soundtrack of all time, so I got to do Pinbot. I got to cover Black Knight 2000 and get a choir.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. That's like, yep. It's like some pretty good stuff right there.
Half my friends can sing, so everyone will as they're supposed to. Swords of Fury has a killer FM soundtrack. That's not one you got. That's actually, that'd be on my list of wants from you guys too. A Williams game from maybe like 93. You ever heard of that one?
That was actually popped up recently in the request. Like, it was not requested last year, but this year it's requested a lot.
It's good. It's good. TX Sector would be a great rock cover. That's you guys did put that one out. Yeah. I want to call it Pick Me Up at 8, but it is a medley of the music from Taxi and Night Moves, which is the machine that I own, because it's perfect. It's Taxi, and then it's a nightclub. And then music from Laser War, because I'm too. That was my old machine, and that's I'm attached to it. So there you go.
We can promote it.
Okay. There you go. I'll get it out. I'll get it done eventually. I have so many wish lists for projects, and there's only so much time in the day. So
if you don't get me on board for the chorus vocals, I'm gonna cut you.
Oh, you are in. Like, good. I mean, you could be the only one. It could be just you, one voice going. Ah, I don't give a shit.
Gotta learn.
Get some cats in there.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining me, as usual, is CJ. CJ, how you doing?
I'm extremely, extremely, extremely good.
Wonderful. Fun show today. We have an interview coming up later with Mike Lindsay of Farsight Studios. And I even have a special guest co-host for that. Our wonderful dear friend Grant Henry stopped by, since he's one of the biggest pinball guys I know. And you missed that, so haha, fuck you.
Oh, well, that means that if I actually find a time to do it, I'll watch the episode, maybe, possibly, probably not, but who knows.
You should. It could happen. Pretty good. Pretty good stuff. But before we get to that, we do have a couple of reviews that we need to kick out fairly quickly. And you have to eat, so that kind of makes it even quicker for us. But
I mean, it's not a rush. I can wait, but yeah.
Maybe you do have to rush.
All right, fine. Fuck. We'll rush. All right. The first game is...
First game to talk about is called Hollow Ball, developed and published by Tree Fortress Games. You might recognize them as the team behind Jump Jet Rex.
Oh.
So they have a new game out. Released November 22nd on PlayStation VR for $14.99, and it released this past April on Steam for the Vive. Hollow Ball plunges players into an action sports arcade arena inspired by one of the most iconic games of all time. Use your paddles to hit, smash, and curve the hollow ball past your opponents to score. Learn and master skill shots to outmatch your increasingly difficult opponents. This is basically... VR Pong, kind of mixed with tennis.
Interesting.
It's really, really cool. It has a cool neon like wireframe style graphics to it. You play with one PlayStation Move controller, and your Move controller is basically like a ping pong paddle or a tennis racket or just a paddle in general that you could smack people with. You press a button to summon the ball, and then you swing and you try to score against a gigantic wall with a square that just moves around. Unlike Pong, it's not just like left or right or up and down. It's a full 3D wall with, you know, diagonals and all those crazy things. It's a lot of fun. There's easy, medium, hard, and extreme difficulties for the quote-unquote campaign. There's not really a story or anything. The harder the difficulty, the longer the matches could get, clearly. There's also a custom setting, so you can, you know, choose the, you know, the AI difficulty or how many points, stuff like that. There are also a handful of bonus modes, I guess. There's an endurance one, which is basically you're playing against not like a super, super hard opponent, just one that's super defensive. So it's hard to score on it, and it's a gigantic open wall that you got to play against. There is a score attack mode, and then there is a Zen mode, which is basically you're playing against a solid wall, and you're just hitting the ball back and forth.
Oh,
It's more of like a relaxation thing.
Yeah, that's why it's called Zen.
Yeah. $15 for PlayStation VR. I think it's a lot of fun. I kind of wish there was either a little bit more to the game or a little bit lower of a price, but as it stands, I recommend it. It's fun stuff. It's great tracking on it, great visuals. I had a lot of fun with it, and it's very, very active. This is one of those games. I'm one of those guys who would always remove the wrist straps from like Wii remote controllers and the Move controllers. You're gonna need them for this.
Oh, I learned about that in the Wii too, at my friend's house. So that wasn't fun.
Like, I always take them off because I hate wearing shit on my wrist. Like, I don't wear watches. I don't wear sweaters that have tight wrists on them. I hate shit on my wrists. I feel like I'm being handcuffed. So I never use wrist straps. And if
I have a lot of experience with that.
Oh, you know it. And if I ever, ever let anybody play this game, they are going to be forced to use the wrist strap because they'll fuck something up.
Yeah, that's a dangerous game to not wear it.
I mean, this was a dangerous game for me the way it is because I don't have the biggest living room because I have so many shelves in here. I cleared out a space that I thought was sufficient enough for the game. And I was playing, and I apparently went all the way up to my TV stand and punched some Blu-rays off of the TV stand. I went all the way over to the right where a couch is, and I punched one of my cats that was sleeping on the couch.
I was going to ask if you hit any cats.
And then on my left, where our coffee table is, and I slid off to the side, when I swung to the left, I ended up knocking a whole bunch of shit off the coffee table, like a water bottle, my pill bottles. I just...
God damn, man.
Really
take that game seriously.
It's an easy game to get lost in, which, a lot of credit to this, it's you just get lost in the world and lost in the game, and you're going to forget where you are in the house, and you're going to start knocking shit over that you didn't think you were anywhere near.
That's funny.
I think that's the sign of a good VR game, where you just get lost in it, huh?
Yeah, I'd say that's probably the best sign. If you can get lost in a VR game and just feel like you're actually in the game, then it's done its job.
And I was sweating. Like, that shit was active. I was moving. It was like playing something from Virtual Air Guitar Company on the Kinect.
Nice. That's like burning all your calories you needed to in 1 year.
I know. And then my legs were like sore as fuck today. So that said, $15, yeah, buy it. It's good stuff, fun game. Everyone I've been talking to online has been absolutely loving it. So I think for only $15, this is definitely one to check out on PSVR. Or if you have a Vive, I think it's only $10 on Steam. So
no, it's $15 there too.
Is it?
I was looking at it. It's $15.
Yeah, I probably looked at something wrong then. Well, it's $15. If you have a Vive or PSVR, do it.
Yeah.
There you go. Next game, Nebulous, developed and published by Namazu Studios. It released November 16th on the Xbox One for $14.99. We previously covered this on the PlayStation 4, and that version actually got a free PSVR update on the same day. Nebulous is a physics-based puzzle game where you must help guide Commander Dash Johnson, a trapped astronaut, through maze-like levels, seeking the next wormhole to his eventual freedom. Arrange the pieces so that when he falls, gravity guides him safely and probably painfully to the end. CJ, this one was all you. What do you think?
All right. I didn't know that you had covered this before.
I thought you were here for that.
I may have been and just didn't know. Possibly. But I don't remember looking up the stuff for it, so probably not. Anyway, Nebulous is an interesting little puzzle game that involves moving objects on a 2D plane to get a ball with an astronaut stuck in it from one side, which is normally the top, to a wormhole that's somewhere on the screen, normally the bottom. And the puzzles are pretty fun, but they get tricky really quickly, and in each level there are 3 stars to earn. One for the amount of attempts it took you, one for the amount of time it took, and one for how many stars you collected on the level. Although I do wish that they would use, like, they wouldn't have used stars for both things. It's a little bit confusing. Like, I wish that perhaps the items that were on the actual map were something else, so it wouldn't be like, I collected all the stars in this level, but I didn't collect all the stars in this level. Like, yeah, that's a little confusing, but okay.
Makes sense. I didn't even think of that when I talked about it.
It is a bit weird. The game does something I really do find annoying, though, which is common in some puzzle games as well, with the requirement for all stars having to be done in one go. If you miss a time requirement, you then have to redo the attempts, which comes naturally with the time anyway. You don't have enough time to make more than one attempt. And you have to pick up all the stars again. So if the stars are out of the way, you would think like, okay, I'll go after the stars in this playthrough, and then the next playthrough I'll go after the time to make it faster. But you can't do that. You have to get all the stars in one run, or it doesn't give it to you. So that's a little bit frustrating, but, you know, whatever. Some people prefer it that way because it's challenging. However, the resetting of a level,
scrub.
The resetting of a level doesn't take very long. It does fade out to black and feels like it takes longer than it does just because of the fade out time. Like, I think it's masking just a loading screen, but I would have preferred a loading screen. It just felt annoying to watch as your character just, like, it looked like you just slowly closed your eyes. It was like, a loading screen would have been fine. It just makes it feel like it took longer than it did. The controls are a little awkward. I find myself pressing the start button to start a scenario, when instead the actual button is RB. And so I'd keep fucking pausing the game, trying to start a scenario. And you also have to use a cursor with the right stick and press A to select an item, and then A to place that item when you're done moving it. This wouldn't usually be a problem, but with a strict timer, it can be difficult to work with the cursor. It's just it's a little bit awkward to place something exactly where you want it, because especially if you have other objects in the way, it'll like bounce all over them.
Yeah.
It'd be a little weird. Also, for some reason, the left and right directions on the D-pad also pause the game, which I found a little bit weird and interesting, but oh well. Now, like I said before, the puzzles in the game are actually pretty good. They're all different and well thought out, and I don't know, they have a good feeling. The voice acting in this game is really good. I do give credit there. I didn't expect any voice acting to actually be in the game, and then there was, and it was pretty funny.
It was funny as hell.
The physics makes some puzzles more difficult than they should be, because the game reacts slightly different every time you do the same thing, meaning that something that worked last time in the exact same position might not work the next time. And I had one moment where I didn't make it to the goal, but I decided not to change anything and try it again, and I made it in. Just because it awkwardly bounced on something.
Yeah.
That it happened to not do again. Meaning that this game is not an exact every time. Which can be a little bit frustrating also trying to go for the stars. But, I mean, it is what it is. It's, what did you say, $15?
Yeah. $14.99.
I think that price is slightly high for what the game offers. But, I'd say at $10 I'd be more willing to give this a buy it. I have to give it a try for now. The puzzles are good, and there's some good voice acting, but that's about it. Everything else in the game is really awkward.
When I covered it on the PS4, I think I described it as this was a game that seemed like it was made for VR.
Yeah, because it is weird that you kind of got like that first-person perspective on a 2D plane.
Yeah.
I could definitely
especially
see that.
When the later puzzles, you're like switching between planes. Like, you have to figure out one area and then switch to the next.
I'm assuming that's why the left and right D-pad also pause the game, is because the menu is actually on a plane.
Yeah.
But that's still a little odd.
So, I revisited it on the PS4 with the VR, and it just seemed to control better now. Like, it felt like it played right. Because
that might be the place to go for it, then.
Yeah.
If you want to actually check out this game, VR might be the better place to go for this game.
Yeah, but I thought the game was a lot of fun, and I believe, we're actually going to have a handful of codes to give away for this one, so...
All Xbox One, I'm assuming?
Yes. So, right. Stay in touch with us probably next week sometime, and we'll you know, do that.
Coolio.
Yeah.
I'll be here.
Will you?
Probably, unless Shame. It's really weird. Oh, okay. Thank you, No Pulse. I really appreciate it.
Last game to talk about today before our interview is called Bombing Busters, developed and published by Sanuk Games. Released November 18th on the Xbox One for $6.99. It released previously on Steam and the Wii U as Bombing Bastards, but Sony made them change it to Bombing Busters. Then Microsoft decided to keep that name and not use Bastards. But it finally came to Xbox, and it's still Busters.
But, lame. I wish it was Bastards. That would have been funnier.
Go figure. Nintendo was cool with Bombing Bastards.
Oh, I'm sure Xbox would have been fine with it if that was just the name originally.
Probably.
And it wasn't changed.
I asked them if there was any thought to changing it back to Bastards, and they're like, well, Microsoft decided to just stick with Busters.
Yeah, I guess it kind of makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, have a blast, bomb oodles of nasty critters in a series of 30 wicked mazes, defeat hellish bosses in heroic fights, play solo or with friends, offline or online, in merciless battles, embark on a hilarious journey with the witty Dr. Wallow to conquer the galaxy in this explosively fun arcade game. This is Bomberman.
that's just straightforward and to the point.
It really bombing busters. So you're, a robot that runs around. You're bomb. The levels are laid out in the same grid style format where you drop a bomb, you get into cover, it blows something up. You pick up upgrades. There's also some downgrades sprinkled around that you want to try avoiding. All the usual Bomberman items are there with a flame up, bomb up, kicking, picking up and throwing things, the time bomb, or the remote detonating bombs. It's Bomberman. It's hard to review as its own thing, because this is just, it's Bomberman. It's like trying to review Candy Crush and not mention Bejeweled.
That's true.
Like, this is just straight up Bomberman. The campaign is, it's like five levels, then a boss, five levels, then a boss. So there's six worlds, each one has five worlds, and then a boss battle. It gets fairly tricky fairly quickly, and a lot of it is due to the AI. The AI in this game is pretty, I don't want to say human-like, but they don't. A lot of the enemies in the game, they'll just wander on their path back and forth. But you find a couple of enemies that they're like, oh, you dropped a bomb there? Guess what, bitch? I'm hiding. You're not going to blow me up. So there's enemies that you have to, hunt them down and trap them. And whether that means, like, trapping them in a corner and throwing a bomb to them, or kicking a bomb to them, or, like, dropping a bomb, then running around a corner and dropping another one. Because if they get trapped, they'll just, like, stop moving and be like, well, shit, you got me.
Oh, that's funny.
Every campaign level is timed. You have 5 minutes. And depending on how long it takes you, you get 1 to 3 stars. Clearly, one of the achievements is to get all the stars in the game.
Obviously.
Which means you have to beat a stage in 2 minutes to get 3 stars.
And wait, is that each stage or just,
yes,
like, oh God, does it not like fluctuate by difficulty or
no,
something?
Nope.
Huh. It sounds like the first ones are going to be like, yeah, no problem. And then it's like, well, no, that's not possible.
Yeah. Even by the end of the first world, I was struggling to get the third star because of the enemies that just avoid you at all costs. There's like warping teleport pads that you can walk on that, warps you between two points that could easily mess you up if you're not paying attention. Of course, there's the multiplayer, which, you know, all Bomberman games need multiplayer. If you don't have multiplayer in a Bomberman game, you know, what the fuck is your problem?
You're not a Bomberman game at that point.
Seriously, this is Bomberman, and because there hasn't been a new Bomberman lately, at least we have a new Bomberman game for the most part. It's not called Bomberman, but yeah, this is Bomberman. And for $6.99, fuck it, why not? Do it.
No, that's good. $6.99, damn, that's cheaper than I thought it was.
Yeah.
On Steam, I believe it is. I'm looking at it's $10 on Steam.
Yeah, $6.99 on Xbox. Maybe it's lower because it took so long to get there.
Or because it's not called Bastard, so you don't have the tax of...
You don't have the Bastard tax.
Exactly.
But yeah, fun game, good stuff, so fuck it, why not? Grab it. It's Bomberman. What else do you need to know? It's fucking Bomberman that's not Bomberman.
Hey, and it's like the only Bomberman clone on Xbox One, I believe, so...
Except for some backward-compatible Bomberman. Bomberman's...
There was legit Bomberman that were backwards compatible. What?
Bomberman.
Let's not talk about that. Those don't exist.
Anyway, that's it for us right now. Stick around after the music from Grant Henry, Mr. Stemmage, Mr. Metroid Metal. It is going to be me, Grant Henry, and Mike Lindsay of Farsight Studios talking about Stern Pinball Arcade and all the awesome shit coming there, which should be releasing on Xbox One by the end of the month. A physical version is set for the 28th. Digital, I think they're still trying to get hammered out. And then it's out on PS4 now. So stick around for that interview because it is awesome and fun. And No Pulse was in chat saying that he wishes Grant replaced you.
Yeah, I heard. Yeah. I wish someone would replace No Pulse as a member in chat. I'm sick of hearing it, cunt.
I just don't understand your rivalry, but it's hilarious.
I don't understand it, and I wasn't a part of it when it started. He just decided to have one.
Hey, we all need someone to pick on.
When is somebody going to join the show that I can pick on?
That's what happens when you're 12. You get picked on.
Fuck it. Fuck up. Legal. Legal.
So, final words before the song?
I am illegal.
You are illegal. We know that. Welcome back, everyone. SML Podcast. I am joined by two fantastic guests right now. First off, from Farsight, Mike Lindsay, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. It's Friday. Super stoked.
It is Friday. It is a very beautiful gray Friday in my neck of the woods, and I love it. It's cool, but it's not cold.
It's very cold.
It's just nice. Where are you at?
Well, we're in Big Bear, California, in the mountains.
Ah. It's not often you hear someone from California say, it's cold here.
Yeah, usually, I mean, it's pretty interesting. It's Southern California as well, and it's only like an hour and a half from the beach. But you can go from the beach to the mountains, and there's not natural snow here, but there is later in the winter, but right now we have some man-made snow, which is pretty real, but so the mountains going to open up soon.
Man, it's getting to be that time of year, huh?
Yes, it is.
But interviewing someone to do with pinball like you, I couldn't go it alone. I had to get in touch with one of the biggest pinball heads I know, Grant Henry. Grant, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Joe. Nice to meet you, Mike.
You too.
The recently married Grant Henry.
Yo. Oh,
nice. Congratulations.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. I'm all hitched up.
Yep.
Now I can like... Now I can buy all the pins I want, and then is that how it works? Now I can fill the house, like put them put have one in the closet because there's not enough room, right? I'm in Northern California myself, so it's not like we have the biggest floor plan in the world. So I figure we'll just get rid of the coffee table, take the legs off one of the machines, set it on the floor, get rid of the dining room table. Like we'll get rid of the couch and put one there, and put pillows on top, sit on that, and watch. Get rid of the TV.
Okay.
No, gonna keep the TV so we can play Stern Pinball Arcade.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
on the that's PS4. Where
my house is. I mean, I think eventually once I get a place, you know, that's a little bit bigger, I'm gonna actually scope out a place that has room for a pinball table or two.
Yeah, or just a basement dedicated to pinball machines.
Yeah. Yeah, something like that.
Open your own mini pinball arcade in the basement.
Mm-hmm. The basements are so rare in California. At least I don't know. I mean, they are up here. I don't know about Southern California, but is it like that there too? Like we don't have the subterranean. The man caves are next to other rooms in the house, not below them all.
Yeah, figure it's like a shed. You go by like a tough shed, and that's your man cave.
That's it.
I guess basements are an East Coast thing. Am I by myself over here?
No, you're. I think that's it. Like I was in North Carolina, everyone had a basement, but out here it's not like that. So. There you go.
Because if you dig up the ground, it's nothing but Indian burial grounds out that way.
You don't want to go down there.
And yes, no.
You will all be cursed and damned to hell for all eternity.
Mm-hmm. Save up, Graham.
Yeah, good stuff. So, as Grant mentioned, Stern Pinball Arcade just released on the PS4. It's been out on Gear VR. For the people who don't know what Stern Pinball Arcade is, or are confused how it's different from the standard The Pinball Arcade...
Right.
Give us the sales pitch on what Stern Pinball Arcade is.
Well, Pinball Arcade, you know, it's a lot of classic tables, you know, from the 60s all the way up to like early, mid 90s or something like that. But Stern Pinball Arcade is actually including some of the newer tables. Like right now we're having, we have Ghostbusters coming soon, Star Trek, based on the newer series, Mustang, and then we have some of the older Sterns in there as well, like Ghost. I mean, I keep saying Ghostbusters, but I mean Starship Troopers. And it's going to continue to release with tables that Stern are releasing, you know, as they come out.
I'm excited. I'm definitely excited. I picked up the starter pack. Just the starter download on PS4 with Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. Right. And holy crap, was that fun.
Yeah, it's super cool. And on the Gear VR right now, it's in virtual reality. And we're going to be releasing for the Rift later on. And on the Rift, it looks amazing. And then later we might actually support PSVR and things like that. But right now it's exclusive to Oculus.
I know someone hanging out in our chat room right now is a Vive guy who hates Oculus.
A lot of people are asking about Vive, and it is possible that we'll support it in the future. Can't confirm it right now though.
Nice. So basically contract is like, well, you can't talk about it. We know it's going to happen, but you can't talk about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's the reading between the lines kind of deal.
So with the VR stuff having happened, what was the reason you guys went VR first? Because that's kind of like that's somewhat of an undertaking, alongside you know developing these more modern tables and putting a new platform out there and learning the ropes of VR. So what's the story about going VR prior to going for a more traditional PC or console release?
Well, I think because it was. You know, it's such an upcoming thing right now. It's like the thing that everybody's talking about. If something comes out in VR, there's not that much out in VR, so it's a big deal. And I believe it's also not the most difficult thing to adopt into your game. You know, it's a lot of cameras and stuff like that, and I think it's totally possible, especially with pinball, for us to do it. You know, there is a pinball table right there, so it's definitely something that is... something that we want to do, and make it more realistic for people to play pinball.
Yeah, you're in a pretty good situation without having to deal with movement. You know, I just finished.
You don't have to make any crazy environments or anything. It's just a pinball table right there in front of you.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, that's why I'm hoping it shows up on PlayStation VR, because I picked up one of those and for the show, and we've been covering a handful of VR games on the show, and I would love to just have VR pinball in my living room, because my living room's not big enough for an actual table.
Yeah, and that's actually the way it can kind of make it easier for people to have sort of a pinball table in the living room, is you can actually just stand up right there and you can visualize it. I mean, you don't even have, you know, it visualizes it for you, but it feels like it's there.
There's a guy on, I think it was on tested.com, in prep for the pinball VR revolution. He built himself a controller. He used some foam core and built kind of like the front of a pinball machine and put buttons on the side of it and wired it into like a little board for PC input, keyboard input, and kind of built like, I don't know if he went as far as putting accelerometers on that thing so you can like nudge the table around. I mean, I imagine you'd end up throwing this foam core box to the side if you tried to do that. But I got a feeling you're going to get the super enthusiast. It's like the equivalent of getting your steering wheel ready.
And you should be able to map your own controller. And I've seen some controllers that are like that already, where it's like they have their keyboard embedded into it, this wood box, you know. And I've seen a few different ones. But I think if you can just map your keys, then you should be able to play like that. And you could probably put an accelerometer in there. That might take some extra support from us. But I don't think it'd be too difficult, because we actually have a Virtua pin here. And that's like a super nice pinball cabinet with a computer inside, and it has two monitors, and there's an accelerometer in there where you can nudge and it actually works in the game. We just haven't been able to release that for certain reasons, but we have it working in the building, which is
that's cool. So cabinet support is something that you guys are still working on, because I know that's the virtual pin stuff is coming along.
If we're going to be able to release it, but it's something that we want to release and our fans want us to release, and we have the capability. We actually have it running in the building nicely, but just certain things keep us from being able to do it.
I just want this to turn into something like Rock Band, where you just go into a store and see a big stack of pinball machine boxes and you just put together a plastic pinball table,
right,
as a peripheral.
Yeah, and then you just play it on screen.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I mean, we're not in the business of making these peripheral things, but maybe in the future we'll partner. You know, that'd be pretty cool.
Just don't partner up with Mad Cats. I'm not hearing good stuff about them lately. So what exactly is the difference between Pinball Arcade and Stern Pinball Arcade? Is the original Pinball Arcade, like, is that done now, or will you be supporting both franchises?
Yeah, we're going to continue with Pinball Arcade. The difference really is that Pinball Arcade has Williams, Gottlieb, Bally, all of those licenses, and Stern Pinball is actually still around, still producing real pinball tables, and so they're getting their own dedicated game with their pinball tables. And it's cool because they're coming out with new tables all the time. And that's going to mean that that the game is going to get new tables. You know, so when they get a new license, whatever it is, it should be able to go into the game. And it'll be a place for you to really get to know the rules. And then you can go out and actually find the real thing and, you know, do better than you normally would have. Get yourself on the scoreboard.
I mean, are there chances that we could see pinball tables appear in digital form before we see them out in the wild?
We have been talking about that. I don't know if that's actually going to be able to happen. But, you know, I think it is a good marketing tool for Stern. You know, it's for people to see the table. It's kind of like they actually get to try it, you know, like you said. And, you know, it wouldn't hurt to be able to do that. But I don't know if it's going to be possible with just how the tables are produced and everything. You know, it seems like, you know, they work and are making tweaks all the way up to the last minute, it seems like.
I was going to say, find them in arcades, but I don't think those exist anymore.
They're actually popping up around, but they're more like barcades. And there are a few arcades that are around here that are sort of dedicated to pinball. It seems like pinball's having a resurgence, you know?
Which is, it's awesome to see. You know, even at our local mall, there was like a smoke shop that just went out of business, which, you know, cool. Good to see another mall get rid of a vaping store. But they got an arcade in there now. And most of this stuff is like there's an air hockey table or there's like a Fast and Furious or something, but there's a handful of pinball machines, and it's just cool to go in there and be like, I miss these. I miss getting hands-on time with an actual physical pinball table.
Yeah, there's something really special about a real physical pinball table. And we're trying to reproduce that as much as we can. But I think really the ultimate goal for us is just to make pinball popular again, you know? And everybody has a way to play some games. And if we can get them some pinball games and have them actually get familiar with some real pinball tables, you know, then if some establishment in town has one, then you see it and you're like, dude, I know that table. I played this one on Stern Pinball Arcade, you know, so they want to play it right away.
It's going to be cool to have, you know, most of the time when I'm playing the pinball arcade, I'll be like, oh my God, I remember playing this table as a kid. I remember doing this. And now there's going to be people who could play the digital version first, and they could go to a convention like MAGFest or, you know, a retro gaming expo and see these tables in person and get like the complete opposite experience that we've all had.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, a lot of people actually found out about pinball through Pinball Arcade, you know, and
that just blows my mind.
I meet people all the time that are like, really into pinball, and they have pinball leagues and they have pinball tables at their house, and their friends are all doing it. And it all started because they got the app on their phone and realized how cool pinball was. Or, you know, they played it in the past and just forgot about it. And then they found a table that their parents just like used to drop them after the arcade, or used to go in there and play this certain table with them like often or whatever. But we get emails about that all the time. Just people saying that they love pinball, and it brings a lot of nostalgia.
It's big. It's big again. I mean, like, it's happening out in the wild a lot more than it used to. But if you, I mean, like, if you Twitch has dozens of channels devoted to pinball now.
Yeah. Feature from the front page.
Yeah. Yep. It's incredible. And if you look, and I've owned a couple machines, but the one that when I bought the last one, which I no longer have, it was probably full-size machine. That machine now is probably going for about twice what it was when I bought it. So especially in California, if you're looking at like the prices of these used tables, the price now compared to 10 years ago is pretty insane. So the market is sort of dictating the same thing. Like, it's saying that look, the value of these machines and the interest in these machines is kind of back, which is really exciting. So good timing on this whole thing for you guys.
No, actually, we've told this story a few times to other people, but when we first released Ripley's Believe It or Not, I don't know exactly how much the table was worth at that time, but once the table came out and people realized, like, oh, that's a table, like, they wanted it for their house, and they go out trying to find them, and they start, you know, the price starts going up. And I think that happens to tables that are popular in Pinball Arcade, because people discover them and then want to, and then they start looking for their man cave or whatever, you know?
Yep. Here's a weird one. This is a fun story. So a buddy of mine bought a diner, and he did some work to it, ended up selling it. And he asked me, I was over there, we were all playing on another friend's machine. And he said, are you familiar with Farside Studios? And I said, I'm absolutely familiar with Farside Studios. I love the Pinball Arcade. You bought his table to convert the diner. So I don't know if you guys like stockpile those in your warehouse, but the diner that you guys bought was actually my buddy's diner, shipped from North Carolina. Yeah, it's there.
Bring the tables that we use to digitize into the game. We bring those to shows and show people, and a lot of our fans are there, and we let them know, like, hey, that one that you've been playing in the game, that's actually this one, you know. And we clean up a lot of the problems on the main playfield, but we leave some of the wear and tear on the plunger lane and things like that. And that wear and tear that's there is actually from their table that we purchased.
that's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
So what physical pinball tables do you guys personally own?
One of us, you know, Max from our stream, he owns I think it's a Space Mission. He owns at his house, but I don't think many of us own any of them. And all of the tables are here at the studio. All 77 and plus tables are here.
Good Lord.
Yeah. We've filled the studio up completely. So we have a pretty big conference room, And that's pretty much our pinball room now. It's the wall is covered in pinball tables. And
you guys don't have desks anymore. Everybody just works on a table.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, your plan for the house, you know, it's like you got to replace the desk with a pinball table and no more couch. Now it's in a pinball table. But yeah, we do have pinball tables in our offices as well.
Damn, that's crazy.
So when you work in a seafood restaurant, your car smells like fish. You know what I mean? So, and you hate fish. Mike, do you hate pinball? Does your car smell like pinball?
Yeah, it smells like pinball, but I love it. It's like a good pinball smell.
That's good. That's good. So when you started there, were you a pinhead guy, or did you? I mean, like, I imagine you probably enjoyed it a certain amount, but has this kind of turned you into a bigger fan, or were you always kind of a pinball guy? Like, what was your fandom before and after working with these guys?
I wasn't really a pinball fan before. There was a pinball table in our bowling alley up here. It was a Spider-Man, and my wife and I, it was like 10 years ago, we went in there and we just decided to try that pinball table. And we ended up spending a lot of money on the table, on the table, because we figured out how to get the multi-ball and everything, and we didn't really understand it. But once we got that bug, we enjoyed pinball. But that was the only pinball experience we really had before I worked here. So I knew I liked pinball, but I didn't have any pinball. I didn't have any experience or anything like that. But then when I started here, since then I've become a huge pinhead. And luckily the studio sends me to these pinball expos all the time. And I've been exposed to all the pinball tables, and I love them. It's like my favorite thing right now.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, saturated in it.
Brent, you mentioned you had tables. Which tables have you owned?
I owned an old Data East's first machine. It's called Laser War. It was like a laser tag spinoff game from like 87, I think. And I had to sell it when I moved because it was too big, and I miss it so very much. So my brother, I have a Night Moves, which is a cocktail machine. So if, for anyone listening hasn't seen a cocktail pinball machine, it's like, you know, your Miss Pac-Man cocktail. It's that form factor. It's a little bigger, but it is completely flat on the top, and it has no back glass. And you play, it looks like you're playing a cocktail arcade game, but it's a pinball machine. It's got multi-ball and everything. It's like a dance club themed pinball. It's weird, dude. This company got Gottlieb to make two cocktails back in like whatever this is, 86, 87, 88, something like that. And they sold them, they marketed them as being money makers to like the layman. So instead of people, you know, operators putting these things on location, they were selling them to people to put on location. Ended up being a complete bust. No one made money. People are just putting their beers on top of these machines, right? So I just think they're amazing, and they fit in the size of my small place. So I'll have to send you a picture of it. It's cool. It's got killer FM music too. It's really fun. But yeah, for it doesn't have like crazy ramps and upper play fields and stuff, but for a tiny pen, it's actually a lot of fun. So, very strange. And my brother has owned a Sorcerer and a Meteor machine, two older ones, which I love.
Yeah, Sorcerer was actually in our original game when we got started with Pinball Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Sorcerer in that one. And a lot of people, you know, they want us to bring that one back, but I don't know if we're going to be doing that.
Yeah, I mean, I remember, I can't remember what you released that on. I think I had your 3DS one. But you also had like, what was it on the Wii? You did the Pinball Hall of Fame or something like that?
Yeah, I think we did it on the Wii, and it was on the Xbox, original Xbox. I think PlayStation 2.
Were there like two different ones? Because I could remember like the Pinball Arcade, like the was it the Gottlieb collection and the Williams collection?
Yeah, two separate ones.
And then I know there's the one on the 360. Is that just like a mix of the two?
No, I think there's one on 360 right now, which is just Pinball Arcade.
No, I'm talking like the physical disc. I think it's Pinball Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it must have been Pinball Hall of Fame. And I think we did the Williams collection and the Gottlieb collection on that as well, but I'm not 100% sure.
Well, I can speak for those who have fussed about Sorcerer, I would lobby for that one to come back since the work has been done. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's another. Well, at least it doesn't have Tom Cruise's face on it or anything. Maybe that makes it a little easier to license. I have no idea. Yeah,
that does make it much easier. Yeah, especially in Pinball Arcade, because we do have a license for Willy and Bally Gottlieb, and we can do any of those tables as long as there's nothing special in the other, you know, like a separate license.
Right.
That's why we've been doing those Kickstarters for the big tables.
Right.
But yeah, if it doesn't have any license like that, we can just come right out with it, no problem.
Well, I want to ask about Data East real quick. This is the Stern show, but it is fun because I know a lot of the people that are paying attention to Stern Pinball Arcade obviously have played a lot of the regular Pinball Arcade too. But right. But Data East stuff, you've released two Data East tables. I think you did the Last Action Hero and another one. And I can't remember which one.
Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yeah, Phantom of the Opera, totally. Data East, is that you're not a licensing guy either, but is there, you know, there are obviously more Data Easts that could be done. I mean, things like Tales from the Crypt is amazing. I know that one probably is, and probably Jurassic Park as well. But, like, is the Data East relationship something that is, I mean, Data East is now not Data East anymore. So has that been a different experience trying to get those licensed compared to something like the Williams tables or stuff with Stern?
I believe Data East is pretty much Stern right now. I don't know exactly how the licensing logistics work. I don't know if they like purchased it or whatever, but we've released Last Action Hero into Stern Pinball Arcade already. So on PS4 yep. right now, it's on there. And so is Phantom of the Opera. Yep. And it isn't more difficult in the terms of it being Data East, but Data East usually is highly licensed tables. Like, they pretty much only did licensed tables, except for, like, Phantom of the Opera, you know what I mean? So, it is more difficult because of that. And for the older tables, we have to go out and get the separate licenses. But for Stern Pinball Arcade right now, I believe that they actually try to work the license for the video game version into it when they negotiated initially.
That's amazing. I was wondering if, like, for future tables, if that's they're able to work that into the agreements that they make.
Yeah, and I'm not sure they'll be able to do that with all the licenses, but, you know, it's definitely the goal.
I mean, it's probably safe to assume that Stern, I mean, given their track record the last, like, 5 years, they're sticking with licensed tables for notoriety and for familiarity. It makes sense, right? I mean, yeah. People know Star Trek, people know Walking Dead, people know Ghostbusters.
License is a big deal, you know. The Star Trek license, I really love Star Trek. I really like the movie, and then it's got a whole bunch of sound bites from the movie, and you feel immersed in the stories that you like, you know, and you feel like you're taking part in it.
Yeah.
So what are some of the newer tables that you guys are working on trying to get into Stern Pinball Arcade?
Sorry, what was the question again?
What are some of the newer tables that are, you know, recent releases that you guys are working on trying to get into the game?
I can't really talk about what we're working on. The only one I can say is Ghostbusters, and that one's definitely coming, and that's a big deal.
I'm excited about it. I saw that as coming soon in the PS4 version. I'm like, wow, that's going to be cool as hell. I know Grant was excited about that one.
Yeah, we have a brand new LE here. We got it right after it came out. And we've been playing the hell out of that thing.
Yeah, it's interesting because Stern, like, games are released and then patches come out. Like, week one, week two, week six, patches happen. That happens with pinball machines now, too. So, you know, Stern will drop a pinball machine in the arcade, and then they'll release firmware updates that have to go into the machine that add new rules, add wizard modes, all this other stuff. So, do you have any comment on how that might work with Stern Pinball Arcade? Like, are you going to be able to kind of patch in their new code along with what, you know, is on your tables in the game swiftness?
Yeah, the tables are running. They're pretty much, well, I think Stern Pinball Arcade, I don't know if you can call it emulating, but we have the code that's actually on the table. So when we have that update, it'll just plug right in and we'll be able to patch it out once we release a patch.
That's really awesome. Neat.
Yep.
It's really cool. Isn't it weird, Joe? It's like these physical machines are taking the same route as games now with the patches. And it's just very odd.
When you think back to the origins of pinball, how it was just all completely mechanical, and now it's getting so much more,
I guess, digital. It's still physical machines and physical props, but the guts behind it is all computerized and smarter than us.
Underneath the playfield is still a lot of wires and a lot of light bulbs, and it looks crazy under there. But if you open up behind the back glass, it's a totally different thing than what you would look at on one of the older tables. The older tables have boards all over the place and things that change the sound and all kinds of crazy stuff that is really difficult to understand when you're trying to work with it. And it's very difficult actually for us to emulate things in those old terms, you know, that all those boards and everything. But now we have the spike system, and it's just a tiny little board in there. It's just one little thing. You open the thing up and it's like a tiny little.
Now you open up the back and it's just an iPad running the digital version of the game.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it's like you open the it's like buying an old PC game and it's this giant box, and then you open it up and there's this tiny little disc in it. Yep. And that's what you get. No, I was wondering about that. The spike system is so lean and tiny. I almost imagine it might be easier to dump to get that code out and apply it to a digital environment.
It's compared much easier.
Compared to something like an EM, which I imagine like electromechanical stuff, the old tables. I bet there's some irony there because I bet it takes. I mean, I can't assume anything, but I would assume that it might take the most work to get those old electromechanical machines to run the way they're supposed to. However, I bet they're probably not the most sought after tables as far as numbers, right? I mean,
they are highly sought after by our core group of fans. A lot of them really enjoy those tables, and they're constantly wanting us to bring them out. But we have a lot of people that are not in our core group that aren't communicating to us all the time. And the sales actually tell us that people do not prefer to have the older EMs. And then our sales on dot matrix games are much higher. About the difficulty of creating them or digitizing them, the EMs are not very difficult because the rules are simple and we actually don't have anything in there to emulate. We have to script the rules. So when some bumper is worth like 10 points and then when there's a light lit, it's worth 20 points, we script all that in and it's fairly simple. It's also simple for us in the art department because we don't have to model any crazy toys or, you know, spectacular looking ramps with lights all over them or anything like that. But then when it comes to things like the Addams Family or something, then there's a lot of work that goes into the emulation and getting all of the sound to come out of those boards because it's not the same on everything. You know what I mean? Like, we actually have a tool that goes in there and just plays all the sounds. And sometimes there's a scenario where you have to play one sound before you can get other sounds to come out. And it's a real needle in a haystack for us to get all the sounds to come out and play in our game.
That's fascinating.
I just want to say that I hate you guys right now because I'm now just going through Craigslist looking for pinball tables. There's a guy selling like The Who's Tommy, Elvis...
Tommy's a Data East machine. That's a pretty sweet one, actually.
Someone is a Lethal Weapon 3 machine for $2,000.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, how awesome is it when you have someone over and you're going to like hang out and you've got a pinball table in your game room? It's like, it's amazing.
I wish I could remember what pinball table my uncle had in California because he worked for Mercedes-Benz for years, so he had money. And right. I remember just going out to visit him, and in his spare bedroom, there was a pinball table. And as a little kid, that just blew my fucking mind that, like, someone has a pinball table in their house? What? I don't have to go to Aladdin's Castle to play a pinball table?
Yeah, I think Stern right now is actually selling tons to personal households. Like, people are just getting them for their house now.
It's crazy.
You don't have to go and stick your fingers in all of the coin returns trying to find quarters to pump in that one more game of Street Fighter 2.
Quarters? It was always tokens. Come on,
Grant. Oh, tokens. Sorry.
Get your shit together.
My bad.
Kind of arcades use quarters these days.
Yeah.
Maybe at the bowling alley where they were too good for tokens.
Yeah, they're too good. Bowling alley.
Well, now they just suck dollar bills in the machine. It's like, that's where we are. You know,
That is crazy how just arcade machines now have dollar slots on them. So you don't have to go to a change machine anymore. You just shove a 20 directly into a pinball arcade or pinball machine and
games.
You're good for like three rounds then.
Yep.
So I know that the game is out right now on the PS4 and the Gear VR. What is the pricing on everything? Because I went to look at some of the pricing in the PS4 version last night, and for some reason, like a single table showed up with a $20 price tag, and I figure that had to be a glitch.
Yes, that is a price glitch that we have right now. It should be fixed today or tomorrow. But the pricing structure is there's two bundle packs. So the game itself is free to download, and it comes with Frankenstein. Unlimited free play on that. And then...
Which the table's awesome, by the way. I never realized that table had like a six-ball multi-ball.
Yeah.
So the first time that happened, I'm like, what the hell is going on?
And I think it's based on that movie that had Robert De Niro, I think. Like, the Frankenstein is De Niro. But you can't really tell the game, but that's modeled after Robert De Niro. And... okay, so we have the two bundle packs in the game. There's Bundle Pack 1 and Bundle Pack 2, and they're both they're $19.99. And if you purchase those two, you'll get everything that's in the game. It'll purchase everything.
Nice.
But if you want to purchase individual tables, the contemporary tables like Star Trek and AC/DC and Mustang, they're $9.99. And then the classic tables like Ghostbusters. I'm trying to say Starship Troopers. Starship Troopers is $4.99, and High Roller Casino is $4.99, and that's the pricing structure there.
So I'm guessing the licensed ones have the more premium price tag because of how expensive they are to license.
Yes,
makes sense. So getting the bundle is definitely the way to go with this.
Yes, it is.
Can you talk a little bit about the disc versions of the games? Because I know that those are going to be supposed to be hitting later this month, aren't they?
Yeah, they're supposed to be hitting on the 28th of this month. And it's going to be Xbox One and PS4. And I believe it is $39.99, and you get everything that's currently out on the PS4.
Nice.
Are there any like any different versions of it? I was reading something that was confusing me about LE versions of tables potentially being available in the disc versions of the game. Is that right, or is it exactly what you're going to get if you just go ahead and buy both bundles?
LE versions for now, I think for the current tables we have, are going to be Xbox One exclusive.
Gotcha. Okay.
And I think that, I'm not sure if that's for a temporary period of time or if it's permanent. I'm not really sure, but it's going to be first on the Xbox One.
There you go, Joe.
What is the difference between the versions?
The LE versions have different art packages. I think that's pretty much the extent of it.
Since you get like Grant knows a lot more about the pinball machines and the differences than I do.
Yeah, I don't know too much about what the LE versions are different on AC/DC and stuff like that. I know there's like a Lucy version. I'm not sure if we're doing that one. There's a Back in Black version. But I'm not sure what the differences are. I think it's mostly just art though.
Grant, you're the expert. Why don't you tell us?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I think that there's. I know that on the Star Trek machine, there's a wire form on the left that's different, but I don't know which version has what. I think like the Pro has no wire form, and then the Premium does. I actually haven't played the Stern Pinball Arcade Star Trek yet, so I'm not. I watched some footage, but I can't remember if there's any if there's a wire form over there or not. So I guess these are the premium versions of the tables or something.
Yeah,
that
reminded me that we're actually not going to do any Pro versions.
Gotcha.
The Pro versions are the base one that are missing a lot of features.
Right.
So we're only releasing premiums and LEs.
Cool. Very cool.
Nice.
So you go ahead.
No,
so,
you go ahead. You go ahead. All you.
I mean, you haven't mentioned anything about the PC, and I know you probably wouldn't have something to mention today either, but when will you be able to tell us the release date of the PC version? Like, will there be any sort of warning it's coming? I guess the reason I ask is because I have the PS4 base pack, And I was had my finger on the button of the PS4, but all of my pinball arcade stuff's kind of on PC because I have a vertical monitor that I can throw a table on. Mm. Is that something we might see this year, or do you have anything you can say about PC at all?
I don't have any specific release dates. We don't have anything set yet, but we are planning to get pretty much everything out this year. And our real goal was try to get it out before the holidays, but I think, you know, because we have so many platforms, we won't be able to get everything out before the holidays.
Sure.
I think Xbox One is going to be the next platform they release on. Don't have a date, but the disc version might actually come out before the digital version.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And I believe PC is in the works right now, but yeah, I can't announce any dates until I actually have some.
Gotcha. Was the choice to go console before PC sort of was that just an agreement specific with Stern, or is that something that's kind of that you guys are leading with all the pinball stuff you're doing?
I think it's just I think it's the collaboration with the certain, you know, with the creators of the consoles and everything. I think it's just all has to do with you know, who's putting the game out. So we're partnered with Stern, and we're also partnered with Oculus. So we don't call the shots on really everything. It's just whatever they all agree on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it makes sense. Makes sense to me. Can you speak a little bit about the relationship with Stern in general? I mean, this is something that I know has been in the works for a while. I imagine this is something. I mean, I would hope that Stern would be tooting the horn a little bit about this going forward as well, making sure that all the fans of Stern are aware that they can take the tables home with them. But what's the experience been like there? What can you tell us?
It's just been really great. We get the tables like right as soon as they come out. Like the Ghostbusters table came on day one. As soon as it was out, we had somebody here with the table, and that's been a very positive thing for us in the studio, because we immediately get to play the brand new table, and we're all like, it's like Christmas for us when a new table shows up. And the relationship's been great with us. We're just working together to get the Stern tables out there.
Love it.
That's crazy. That'd be so awesome to just wake up and go to work and be like, oh, the brand new pinball table is here.
Yep.
Yeah. Yay!
We've been releasing monthly with Pinball Arcade. It's been like that, you know. Every single month we get a new pinball table, and it just sits in the front, you know, right next to our reception desk, and we all play it for a couple days until we have to start taking it apart. But yeah, we're always excited to get new tables because it just increases our awesome collection that we have.
I can't imagine. It's like you get the, it's like cutting that box open and taking the wrapper off. It's like peeling that plastic off the front of your new phone. You know, like you don't want to ever do it, but when you do it, man, it feels so good.
Yeah, it was like with the Ghostbusters table, we felt like, oh man, I'm the first guy to ever get a multi-ball on this table.
Yep.
That's a cool honor to have. It really is.
Yeah.
The first person ever.
Joe, you played a whole lot of pinball in the last year. You went through and sort of gave your review of all the arcade tables sort of in order.
Yeah, thanks again to Mike for allowing us to cover, seasons 3, 4, and 5 on the show?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you guys for covering it, man.
So, and I'm glad we finally got you on, and I'm eager to cover Stern as well, or maybe we'll just get Grant to do it, since since he's the massive pinball guy, and he's already had his finger on the trigger for the PS4 version. Maybe we can nudge him along and make him do it.
Yeah, I need to. I'm excited to see. I'm a fan of the physics of Pinball Arcade as opposed to a lot of the other kind of emulators and even Pinball FX, which is awesome, but it's just not it's not my preference. I've decided what Pinball FX feels like to me. I was thinking about this last night, Joe.
Okay.
I feel like it's not like a ping pong ball, because ping pong balls are too bouncy, right? It's like if you were shooting a Mardi Gras bead around the table. Like, but a really big one.
Like, absorb a little bit impact, you know, but it's still pretty good.
But it still shoots like a ping pong ball. You know, it's like a hollow steel ball is what Pinball FX feels like to me. And I give those guys a lot of credit. They were so creative and come do amazing things. I'm really excited about their Bethesda tables that are coming out soon.
Yeah, which should be cool. That yesterday. Yeah, that's very cool.
Oh, it looks badass. Yeah, I can't imagine what they'll do with a table for that.
I'm sad they didn't have a Brink table in there. I think everybody wanted Brink.
I'm sure some guy made it in the corner, and everybody's like, what are you doing? Stop doing that. Skyrim to
get
work
Get out
on.
Of here, Gerald.
Yeah.
Gerald and his Brink.
Friggin' Brink. Table. Gerald, you're the only one who played it.
Yeah, I'm going to get it. I like Zen Pinball. It's good.
Thanks.
It's neat. It's really neat. I like the they go for deeper rule sets in their games, kind of like the newer Sterns go for. And I think that's one of the biggest things I'm excited about, is really digging into the rules, but on your engines. I think would be really kind of cool, because those new Sterns just go for it. They have a big home market, so they build these games that you can just play forever and never beat. And that's what makes it addictive, you know?
Yeah. And that's one of the things we really try to work on, is the rules inside the game too. So we try to explain every major rule in the game so that people can get a hold on it before they get started, or after they get started. And then they, you know the main things, but you don't realize that, you know, if you hit this ramp a certain amount of times, or if you do a combination of certain things, you'll get something special. You know, yeah. A lot of hidden things on these tables.
No Pulse in chat saying Brink for life. I think No Pulse is Gerald.
Brink for life.
Oh, Gerald.
Hey, Gerald. Gerald's in chat. I say hey. You can send me I'll beta test your Brink table. I don't give a shit. Send it on over. If Mike won't listen, I'll listen. Send me what you got.
That's awesome.
I know you guys have been working. You guys released like some new flipper physics a little bit ago.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a new interface that you pushed out to desktop and mobile. Is there anything kind of like in consideration about future platform level updates? Because I know that, you know, graphical fidelity is something that is constantly changing, and things are improving all the time, and tech is improving all the time. I mean, is anything that you're it's kind of in the hopper as far as just things to the platform at large, like not table specific stuff?
Yeah, actually on mobile, there's some new technology for graphics that we're going to be implementing that should get the tables with dynamic lighting, just like the PC version. It might not look as good as the PC version, but it's definitely going to improve the look of the mobile version. And then we're also going to be pushing out our interface to consoles, I believe, at some point. And with Stern Pinball Arcade, we have really great lighting, and we have all of our new technology in there that shows everything off. But we're also going to be implementing some lighting sliders, because right now that some people are saying that the tables are pretty dark. So we're going to go ahead and fix that up and make it pretty cool, and then we'll add some other cool features that I don't know if I can talk about yet. But
that's cool.
Cool stuff.
That was a question on my list, because Star Trek in particular in the arcade is what's the way to put this? It's a sparkly ass table.
Yes. You know,
it is a glistening thing to behold, and your table looks good, but it does look like it's kind of playing a night with incandescence as opposed to kind of the hot LED look of Star Trek. So you guys are working on maybe some like ambient sliders or other adjustments for the future.
Yeah, that's going to be greatly improved in the next patch. You know, just with publishers and all kinds of deadlines that you get with everything, it's like you have to kind of rush it out at the end, and there's some things like that that don't make it in, but we can put it in right after. So hopefully soon we'll have a nice little patch that'll make everything look a little bit brighter, and then you won't
patch
with your TV.
Patch like a true pinball machine.
Yep.
This shit's getting real,
like old school pinball and all their patches.
That's right. I love it.
A sparkly ass table. That is such a great description for a pinball table.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the LE of Star Trek has an actual like disco ballish thing that shoots sparkles on the table. Like it's a pretty sparkly table.
It needs like glitter jets, so it just shoots glitter over everyone.
Yeah, currently the table that's in there has that. It has that laser show.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, for the Vengeance multi ball. And you can see it, but it just, you know, it could pop a little bit more, and it will. It will.
Oh my god, why isn't the Xbox version out yet? I want to play these. But I prefer Xbox. But then I have the dilemma that if you guys do support PSVR, I would need to have both platforms.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
Decisions, tough life.
Joe.
Tough life.
Too many awesome decisions. Oh, darn.
I'll have to get both of them. I'll have to double dip. It's worth it. Definitely worth it.
Yep, that's the solution, man. Just buy them all.
So I know Grant mentioned Pinball FX and Zen Pinball. Do you guys have a good relationship with that studio? Are you guys buddies?
Yeah. I mean, like, on Twitter, we're buddies. So.
Or do you guys have, like, knife fights on the weekend? Like, we're the real pinball guys.
Yeah. Yeah. No, actually, so far, you know, Bobby is their community manager. And we've had, like, some emails back and forth, all been, like, super cool, friendly, just talking positive about each other's games, just trying to let each other know, like, hey, man, we're awesome. We're all in the pinball community. We're all trying to make pinball better. And I don't even feel like we're really, like, necessarily competitors to each other. I think most of the people that purchase our games also purchase their games. You know, it's kind of a, we share our customers, you know, just because people that like pinball, they like pinball, you know.
It's so different. You're making Forza and they're making Burnout. I mean, like,
yeah.
I mean, they're just different. They're just different games.
Yeah, you're making Forza. They're making Forza Horizon.
There you go. That'll work.
Yeah, because they get to do a lot of cool things in their game where you can't do it on a physical table, and we're trying to keep everything in our game something that's possible on a physical table. You know, yeah. Even with our, we have a Doctor Who table coming out for Pinball Arcade. It's called Master of Time. And it's a reskinned version of the classic 1992 Doctor Who table, but it's completely different. Like, it has a new story. It has all the new doctors in it. And it plays into the new story of the show, like the current story. And wow. It looks amazing. But everything that we did in there, we had to make it so that it's, like, physically possible to do that.
That's fantastic. That's a great idea, too. That's a great way to I mean, like, I remember watching Doctor Who as a kid, but that's not what people aren't as familiar with that now. So that's cool that you kind of do that and cater to that newer audience. That's cool.
Yeah, that's going to be very cool. That's another release to look out for coming up this month or early next month is the Doctor Who Master of Time table.
What season are you guys officially on the Pinball Arcade?
We're in season 6 right now.
Wow, so many tables.
Yeah, there is a lot. There's a lot of tables in there. Per month for like 4 years.
Yeah, you've been doing one a month. Like I always get excited when I see the newsletter and then look down at the and get pumped. I actually really like Bone Busters. I like weird Gottlieb tables.
Yeah.
So that was cool. But and then I love looking at your hints for the next month. Nice. It's always a lot of fun. You mentioned, you're doing Stern stuff now too. So I know you have your pipeline for getting all this stuff. I can't imagine what this looks like and how many man hours it takes per table to get this stuff together from beginning to end. But have you had to make adjustments internally for the sake of trying to move forward on the Stern stuff and continue the steady tick on season 6? Like, I mean, is it, you know, like you even mentioned something on your last stream about maybe you can go in for 2 streams a month because you've got new stuff happening on the Stern side. So anything had to change there to account for that?
Well, I'm thinking that we're probably going to have to hire some people. But right now, Pinball Arcade has a pretty good pipeline where, you know, everybody's got everything pretty streamlined. And we can do a table pretty quick, and we have a staff that's sticking to that, and we can continue to push out. But some of the programmers that were, you know, working on Pinball Arcade to help, you know, put a little bit more into like bug fixes and tech into the game and stuff like that, they're now focusing on CERN Pinball Arcade. And I think that's the reason why we're probably going to have to expand a little bit more just to keep both of our games maintained. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Well, Grant, if you're looking for a job, I hear Farsight Studios might be hiring soon.
I'll finish Gerald's Brink table. I mean,
Wrong studio.
Whoops. Sorry. I'll do that anyway.
Hey, if we make a Brink table, it's just going to be like a real pinball table.
Yeah, exactly. Here's what you do. Here's what I would do if I came in there. First, I would learn how to do everything that everyone does there. so I could just back my own pipeline. Then I would do Tron, Stern's Tron.
Yeah.
Right? And then I would retheme it to make it like the old movie.
Oh.
Because that's me.
It would have
the Wendy Carlos soundtrack and all of the light cycle sound effects and Flynn making quips.
That would be totally awesome. And that seems like something that, you know, I don't know in what universe it would happen, but it's something that we could, you know, do. We could kind of reskin it if something happened like that. If there was some kind of Kickstarter to make it, we could offer that just like we did with the Doctor Who table.
Maybe there's a Steam Workshop opportunity in the Pinball Arcade's future.
Yeah, I think there is actually.
One of the things I was going to say is, you know, you have a lot of fans. I mean, you have a lot of pinballarcadefans.com is an actual site that has people gabbing all the time, talking about. I mean, pinball fans are like collector car people. You know, they argue about the best wax. I mean, pinball fans are assholes, is what I'm basically saying. No. So, if you wanted to like put. You know, if you wanted to, if your best beta testers are your fans. If you ever wanted to put like a pre-testing program and stuff in place, I mean, you know, you have a lot of people that are would certainly be interested in helping with that kind of thing.
We get it, Grant. You want to help?
No, not me. I'm busy. I'm working on the Brink table. I'm fine. I got other stuff going. Cool.
Yeah, you're working on a second Tron album.
Yes. No, there's only one. No, I just
showed off the physical one that you sent me on stream.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice. You're one of the few that got one of those. I arranged music, Mike. I do a lot of music work, and I did a whole cover album of the music from the original Tron.
Oh, nice.
Because nerd.
Hey, well, if we ever do that Tron table, because I mean, that to me that sounds like a good idea. I would say, let's do it.
Hey, man, I got your multi-ball music in spades, buddy.
And then we'd call you up for your soundtrack, and then we'd put it in there.
There you go. It's done. I can get off this call now.
See, Grant, they're hiring. I told
you. Yeah, totally.
So I know you guys license tons and tons of tables. Have you guys considered designing, like, your own tables and working with Stern to release your own physical tables?
I mean, we've talked about how cool that would be. You know, that's not, like, an official conversation that we've talked about, but, you know. The employees here are all like, man, wouldn't that be cool if we did this table and that table? And, you know, it's always exciting to speculate what we could do. But that's currently not in the plans. Or you
just
know,
make a Farsight table.
Yeah, Farsight table.
By the way, when I mentioned to my wife that I was interviewing someone from Farsight, she was like, the comics? No. Farsight, not Farside.
Farscape?
Although if I could get Gary Larson on this show, that would be awesome.
Yep, that'd be cool.
Oh my gosh, that would be.
So Gary Larson, if you're listening,
come on the show.
We'll get you guys on together. Farsight and Farside.
Yeah, just because our names sound the same, it would be awesome.
It would make no sense. There would be no cohesion at all to the conversation.
Yeah, but you know,
is there ever? I mean, really. I mean, I guess we haven't gotten off pinball too much, so we're doing okay.
this is a surprisingly on-topic episode. Kind of shocking. So are you guys going to continue with the Stern Pinball in season format? Are you guys going to have season passes available for future releases?
I'm not sure if we're going to be doing season passes. I mean, it is possible, but I think right now we've done bundle pack one, bundle pack two, so it's probably just going to continue to be bundles. It'll be kind of like the seasons, except I don't think it'll be purchasing ahead of time. But I don't know. I mean, I haven't really gotten the rundown on what we're going to do with that, so it's possible. It's possible a little bit.
Because I know when Pinball Arcade first hit the newer consoles, was it... I know one of the console makers wasn't a fan of, like, the season pass thing, so you didn't have it on any of them so that there wasn't, like, an unfair purchasing advantage.
Yeah, that was Apple, and they still do not allow us to sell the season pass before it's completely released. So, you know, people don't get to take advantage of the discount of the season pass until the end of the season. And that kind of sucks, you know, I mean, because obviously these people, they want to get the table when it comes out. And if they want to get it on discount, they have to wait like ten months to get it.
That's why I was wondering if there's going to be any plans to have like pre-purchase discounts so that, you know, because even with the Stern Pinball Arcade, some of those tables are $10 each. If you buy them a la carte, it's going to be significantly more expensive than a $20 pack for a half season.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it would be beneficial for our customers and for us to do that. So I'm hoping that we are able to do that, and it's part of our sales structure.
Cool. Because people love the bundles and saving money. Saving money is always a good thing.
Yes. Yeah, that's how I purchased, like, when I, you know, like, when I bought Fallout, I bought the season pass with it, and it's been worth it. Like, it comes out with new stuff all the time, and it keeps the game going for me, and it's not like I'm dropping cash the whole time, you know?
Yeah, especially because, what was it, after, like, a couple of months, they were like, oh, yeah, we're going to have to increase the price of the season pass, because it was bigger than they expected. But, hey, at least they were cool to announce that ahead of time, so people could still buy it at the cheaper rate.
Yeah. That's when I bought it too. When I saw that it was going to go up, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to get it. I know I was going to get it already anyway, so I just bought it.
Yeah, might as well jump now when it's 30 instead of waiting for 50. Just makes sense. Yeah. Saving money is a good thing.
Yeah.
Especially if you have a wedding like Grant did, and now he's not going to be at MAGFest, and I'm sad.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, weddings.
Matrimony is expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was saying, man. It's like, it's a super expensive thing, and it's so stressful, and then it's like a really beautiful moment, but man, it's like so good when it's over. You're like, whew, you know, because you have to worry about inviting everyone and who not to invite and who to invite and then where to seat everyone, and it's like, it's pretty ridiculous, but it's a good thing.
Yeah, it Grant, is. Inviting people.
Hey, we did what we could. I know Mike has been out of shape about not getting invited, but he'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's okay, man. It's the two of us. Neither of us. We'll have our own wedding, Mike. Just me and you.
Yes, we will.
Is anyone from Farsight going to be attending MAGFest in January, and then we could all laugh at Grant for not being there?
That would be nice, but I'm not sure we have any plans to do that.
Oh, you should try, because I know they have a good amount of pinball tables there every year. It is in Baltimore Harbor, Maryland, like right by DC.
Oh, we could actually have a representative there, because we you know, Pinball Joe's actually, he's working with us. I don't know if you guys know Pinball Joe from Twitch, but it's possible that he could go there, and that would actually be cool. And he could represent us and be sad about not being invited to the wedding too.
Grant, you asshole, you're pissing everyone off.
Joe was there in spirit.
Yeah, Joe was there. What?
What?
Oh, man. Well, I know we've been chatting for an hour. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about? Or, Grant, is there anything else you wanted to ask or cover?
I would like to know what each of your favorite table is in either Pinball Arcade or Stern Pinball Arcade.
I think in Pinball Arcade, I kind of don't have like an actual favorite. Like I always say Star Trek Next Generation, but really I love that one just as much as I love Attack from Mars. And, I mean, those are my two real go-to tables. I love Adam's Family. What's the Castle one? Medieval Madness, man.
Yeah.
And then in Stern Pinball Arcade, I feel like Star Trek is my real favorite table. And then Ghostbusters right now, just because I'm playing it so much, you know.
But you keep saying it. You keep replacing other words with Ghostbusters.
You know, this is like I guess it's a big deal to me.
Mike Ghostbusters from Ghostbuster Studios.
Yeah. Yeah, I swear I said it like 40 times.
I'm super excited about that.
I clearly don't have a favorite in Stern yet, since I haven't gotten to play all of them. But in the Pinball Arcade, I think I got to go with Taxi Driver. or Taxi. Just because I played that one so much as a kid when I would stay at my dad's in Tennessee, like the one little pool hall down there had a Taxi machine, and I played that all the time.
Yeah, that's the story that we get from so many people. It's like, you know, it's like their dad played with them, and that's the reason why that's their favorite, because it's the one that they actually learned, you know, every rule to, every sound in the game. It just brings you this nostalgic feeling, you know what I mean?
It's being a kid again. It's all about being a kid again.
That's what it's about.
So do you have any white whales out there that you guys want to get in the game but you don't know will ever happen?
Huh.
Like any licenses that are just that little bit out of reach?
I think for Pinball Arcade, Jurassic Park would be one of those. Or maybe Simpsons.
Yeah, I wouldn't those two make a lot of sense.
I would love Simpsons too.
Those would be tough.
And I think I don't know if Tales from the Crypt is as big or as requested as those two, but we do get a lot of requests for Tales from the Crypt, and that's something that we've been trying to get, and we haven't been successful yet. You know, it would have been awesome to come out with it for Halloween this year, but
sure.
In the future, maybe we can do that next Halloween.
That'd be cool. What about the Metallica table? Because I know a lot of people are asking about that.
I don't know if we're going to do it, but I do really hope that we do. That's another good table that I really enjoy. And I think that it is possible, you know, now that we're partnered with Stern. So that's something that we can really hope for. I think it might actually happen, but I can't guarantee it.
You obviously can't say specifics on new table releases on any of the platforms, but can you say how many newer Sterns are in your office at this moment?
Let's see. 1, 2, 3. We have 4, I think.
That's a good answer.
Yeah, it's more than it's in the game.
That's great.
4 or 5.
Yeah, it's cool to see pinball tables in the game that aren't from the 90s.
Yeah, that's really exciting for me.
As much as I love those older tables, it is so cool to see these new, like, 2014, 2013 tables in the game.
Yeah, I think that these the Stern Pinball Arcade tables are really going to appeal to a younger generation, you know?
Those damn millennials.
Yeah, millennials, man.
See, what we do, we're never actually going to get Lord of the Rings, you know, the license taken care of. So what you do is we take Lord of the Rings, and we pay Stern their money, and then we make it a SML podcast-themed pinball machine, get rid of all the Lord of the Rings references, and it's just Joe, and then there's, like, all of the modes are different cats he has.
Oh,
and
God.
There's, like, Kitty Multiball. But there's Hairball Multiball.
Multiball. Oh, my God.
Right? You feeling me? Mike's in.
See, just reskin it. Yeah. Reskin the table to me and my cats.
Yep.
Grant could do the music.
Yeah. And we've done it a few times in Pinball Arcade, de-license some things. Like on Adam's Family, we had to de-license Uncle Fester. And I think we've de-licensed probably on a little bit on Last Action Hero. And a few other tables, we've had to do some things with music and stuff like that. But it's been talked about with some tables that have impossible licenses to actually de-license it and change the theme. But we haven't gone that far yet, and I'm not sure if we're going to. But, you know, it was exciting when we were talking about it.
And is that allowed? Like, I don't understand the copyrights to the tables. I'm guessing, like, the actual licensed characters are completely separate from the table design.
Yeah, yeah. So when we're licensed to do that table, you know, if it's a Williams table, you know, we're licensed to use the rules and everything. We're just not licensed to use the music, the voice, and the likenesses. That's the separate thing, you know, that actually is the real licensing challenge.
Well, when you completely reskin a table, Grant will do the music, I'll do the multiball.
Yeah.
You did it.
I did. I did it.
We'll use the soundbite from the stream.
Sounds good.
Here's one for you, Joe. So when the Back to the Future table came out, It was de-licensed from the beginning. Michael J. Fox didn't want his face on the back box, so they had to draw some new kid. So if you look at the Back to the Future back glass, I think Christopher Lloyd's there, but I don't think MJ is in there.
Yeah, that was one thing that we were wanting to do, I think, for the Addams Family Kickstarter, because we couldn't get Christopher Lloyd for the Addams Family table. And a lot of people were requesting, we're thinking like, man, wouldn't it be so cool if we did get his license, like maybe it would be a better deal if we were also able to get the Back to the Future license with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it just wasn't possible with how his licensing works. Just wasn't right. able to do it. There's like some weird things where like if you're contracted license, you can't get more or less than somebody else, or you're contracted to get like double what someone else is getting or something like that. It just makes it impossible sometimes.
Damn. Yeah.
Rough.
It's crazy how licensing is just so difficult. Like that's something I hear a lot with the guys at Harmonix, because I've talked to them a few times and people are like, well, why don't you have this in the game? Why don't you have this in the game? And their standard answer is always licensing is hard.
Yes, it is.
And I can imagine with like fully licensed properties with multiple actors and everything else that it's even harder than in music.
Yeah, you're not actually dealing with who you're trying to license most of the time, too. You know, you're dealing with, like, an agent that is supposed to do one thing. And, you know, the people could have a say in what their license is going to be, but they're not really connected to it. They're out doing whatever they're doing, and then this person handles it, you know. So it's not like, you know, you think, like, Christopher Lloyd would be like, oh, yeah, this is a pinball table? Man, I remember that's cool. Go ahead and go for it and just give him, like, a reasonable deal, you know.
Yeah.
But take him to,
that way.
Take him to Chili's.
Yeah,
I mean, shit, he's doing videos for Lego Dimensions and he won't do it for pinball. What the hell? Come on, Christopher Lloyd, get your shit together.
I'm sure he's awesome. Never
have to deal with him. He is a national treasure.
He is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Grant, are there any tables that you hope to see in Pinball Arcade or Stern Pinball Arcade? Because I think now's the time. If you have any requests, I think
we're taking requests right now.
This might be the time to get them out there.
Oh, let's see. For new stuff, I would love to see Tron.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a
shocking,
big fan of that.
Shocking
table.
Answer.
Shocking. I don't really like the Walking Dead table. So you can kind of put that one. You could send that one out to and give that one to. To just send it to Joe. I would love to see Roller Coaster Tycoon. It's a really good old one that's a lot, real fun, but I that's also, there's another license tied up. And I should have come more prepared.
Yeah, man.
I mean, you had a full night to prepare, Grant.
Oh, I did. I did have one full night.
Lazy bastard.
Let's see. I said Tails. There's another Data East one I like. I'd love to see Guns N' Roses pinball. That was actually a pretty fun
Turtles.
Turtles would be fun. The old, actually, the 1989 Batman table was kind of fun, kind of weird. The old the first Batman table,
right,
was odd. Gosh, there are all a bunch of cool ones. Indiana Jones would be fun. The old Williams one. That's really impossible. Nice.
Highest requested table for Pinball Arcade.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Yeah, it's a really good one.
Yeah, but there's plenty to be done. You guys have done a lot, and there's more.
Yeah, there's more coming. We're just going to keep going.
Keep doing it.
Sounds good.
Pinball forever, man.
Keep them coming, keep releasing them forever, and we will keep buying them and playing them forever.
Yep, keep feeding the pinball addiction, man. It really becomes an addiction after you start. It's like, you know, after work, I try to go play a pinball game before I go home just so I can make sure I feed the pinball addiction. And then when I go home, I play Stern Pinball Arcade now. Like, last night I played for like 3 hours with my wife. So,
damn.
That's fun. Yeah, it's really weird. It's like, I remember there was this documentary about Tetris, and this psychologist was talking about the reason Tetris is so addicting is because you're constantly sort of caught up in fixing your mistakes. Which is what Tetris is all about, right? And building that. You're about building something, not destroying something, first of all.
Yep.
Which is the opposite of most video games. But you're also trying to fix what you you messed up. And I feel like pinball is almost the same way. Pinball is like the equivalent of like one of these endless games that people are so addicted to right now. You know, you're playing for score and that's it. And the way you win the game is so hard that when you actually do it, you might as well just run outside naked and shout it to the heavens. You know,
Grant, you don't need a reason to run outside naked. Just do it if you.
Well, I mean, I don't, but some people do. One more thing I'd say I would love to see is I know that you did a little breakdown video of Rescue 911 a while back on your YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And I've stripped playfields before. I know what it's like, but it was really fun to see that. And I know one thing that Stern has actually done, their new community guy has done a lot of sort of behind the scenes video work. I guess they've put him in a position where he can do that, but it'd be a lot of fun for the fans, I think, to see more about what's kind of just what's going on, even if it's almost video vloggy style or little sneaks into the facility or what you got going on without revealing too much. I think that would be a lot of fun to see. It takes time to do that stuff, but you're.
We were just talking about that today, actually. I have some ideas that would be pretty cool. I think we'll have some stuff coming out in the near future that'll show some behind the scenes on maybe the art department, like what goes on there, or we've already done the teardown, but you know, maybe what happens in the sound department, you know, just kind of do like a little behind the scenes for each of the departments and show what they all do. The rules department.
Yep, totally. Here's one last question. I'm done. I'm just racking my brain. What was the most difficult table to make? From what you know, obviously you're not a part of every department, but in your recollection, what was probably the one that was the biggest pain in the ass?
To expand on that, which was the hardest to obtain?
It was that family for sure, because we spent the entire time from when we first released until we finally launched our Kickstarter for it. We spent that entire time trying to get all of the licenses for that, and then we still weren't able to get Christopher Lloyd and Jimmy, the boy. Yeah, we couldn't get him either.
Oh wow!
But I think we got everyone else, and that was the most difficult. And then, my department, it is very difficult to run a Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And, so it was also difficult for me having to do the Kickstarter, but it was fun. And it was successful. That's a gratifying feeling. But yeah, definitely a lot of work into that table.
That's cool
for all of us.
Are there any other Kickstarters coming up that you guys are planning, or do you think those days are in the past?
I don't think we have anything coming up, but I'm not sure that they're in the past. For Pinball Arcade.
If you want Christopher Lloyd, it's the Christopher Lloyd Kickstarter.
Yeah, it's just for him.
Patch him back into Adam's family and then get the Back to the Future table.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool if we were able to do that.
Man, and then since you mentioned Adam's family, I love the fact that you rewarded the Kickstarter backers with the special gold edition table.
Yeah, that was really cool. I'm glad we were able to do that. It has a little bit of a different ROM as well. And I think they only released like 200 of them or something like that. I'm not exactly sure the number of how many they released of the gold group.
Grant, you know, don't you?
Know what?
How many gold pinball tables they released for Adam's family?
Oh, I don't know. You're supposed to know. You have one.
How
of
don't
them. I have
you
no
know
idea.
This? How don't you know this?
I don't have one. You have one.
Yeah, but they're actually all numbered. Like, they have a little plaque on the front of them with a number.
Really?
Yep.
Then you should know. Go look at your table real quick. I know. Go in the other room.
Well, we actually don't have a gold version. We have a gold ROM, not a gold version.
I meant Joe. But
oh, yeah. I have all ROM. Of them here.
Yeah,
he's got... So, Joe, you have a gold Adams family?
No. Oh. No, I do not own any tables, sadly.
Yeah, that's sad.
Maybe one day. I'll start with, like, one of those bubblegum machines that you just hit into, the catcher or something.
Yeah. Just use that to save money. Like, put quarters in it and then just be like, all right, now I got $6,000. Now I'm going to get a brand new Stern.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
That'll be awesome. It's insane how much those cost. I would be scared to own a pinball table just because of the maintenance costs on those things.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's little pieces here and there, so it's not too crazy. But if you start owning like a bunch, you know, then it does become costly.
It's like one thing breaks and then you have to take 4,000 things apart.
Yeah, the work that goes into it is pretty crazy. I don't have to do that, luckily.
Yeah, I've had like, I mean, like the older they are, the more likely they are to break. You know, like the things just start getting brittle. I've gotten lucky and I owned one that had all kinds of crazy stuff on top of stuff. I had a friend that had a Twilight Zone and took one look at it and just feared having to take that thing apart.
Yeah, the Twilight Zone is one of the most complex looking tables. It has so many parts. It's ridiculous.
Have you ever shattered the glass on one?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I didn't do it myself, but I was standing right next to it when it happened. Like, pulling it out, you know, like taking the glass off. And it's crazy how it just shatters into a million pieces. Like, it just disintegrates. You know, it doesn't break into, like, three or four really big slices. It's just like, you know, it's like whatever that safety glass is, it's ridiculous.
So it's like a car window.
Yeah.
Yeah, the tempered glass. I think the old pinball machines actually had it was pre-tempered. So they had, like, they did split into, like, three pieces and would cut your arm off.
Cut your head off with that stuff.
Jeez. So when you slam someone through the table, it would just, like, carve into their back.
There you go.
Speaking of the glass, I love the fact that in Pinball Arcade, if you hit the ball just right, it will bounce up and clank off the glass.
Well, we actually had glass in our original version, but you know, the one that came out on like PS2 and all that.
Yeah.
But we actually don't have glass in Pinball Arcade right now. And the ball, it will fly off the table, and sometimes it does. Like, if it hits a ramp and we have some bug where the ball's velocity will go too much, it'll fly right out off the table. And we have a thing that'll reload a ball for you, but, like, but yeah, even in certain Pinball Arcade, I found a bug yesterday where I launched a ball right off the table.
Oh, my gosh. That has not happened yet.
I could have sworn on one of the reviews we were doing for one of the recent seasons, I clanked it off the glass unless it just hit something else on the table.
Yeah, it must have been something that looked like that or, you know, something like that. But we actually don't have any glass in the engine.
Huh.
Some people actually ask us to put the glass in, but I think we've not done it. We've just, you know, stuck to no glass because having a reflection, it looks really realistic, but it also kind of blocks your view.
Yeah.
So.
Or if a ball gets stuck, how the machine does all the checks to try and get the ball unstuck.
Yeah, it does everything that the ROM tells it to do.
I love
it. It's really the same ROM. It's like, hold on, I got sound on my phone. But yeah, I lost my train of thought from the phone. It's been ringing a lot right now, too. It's like going off. Like, some of the fans are calling right now.
People are like, get off the goddamn podcast. Get back to work.
I know. But yeah, some people have requested that we add glass back in. I know where I was going with it. But the ROM inside the table, especially for the older tables in Pinball Arcade, not the EMs, but the ones that we actually have to emulate, we don't understand the code. You know, like, we have one engineer that emulates it for us, and he's able to get the signals out from that program. And all we do is we just stick that in the table, and then we just wire it up like the actual table's wired up. All the lights are just connected to the ROM, just like a wire would be, and that light lights up. And then if it doesn't find a ball, just like it doesn't find a ball on the real pinball table, it kicks all the kickers in the engine and everything. It's like the real pinball table. It's like the brain is in there, you know?
I just find it funny that you guys don't know the code that's in the ROM.
I mean, I don't really understand it too much myself. I know the programmers could give you a more detailed explanation of what it is, but it's just so complex and they all did it differently on each table. It's not really possible for us to understand it. And that's why other companies are, you know, other people are not really able to emulate the tables. Like, I know Pin Mame and stuff are emulated and stuff like that, but it wasn't, like, easy for them to do that.
It's like that action-adventure movie where, like, everyone's trying to get through the cryptic language that's on the door, but the nerdy librarian girl is the one who's studied that language the whole time, and she's the only one who knows.
Yeah, I think it's because these boards are really procedural, you know what I mean? Like, it's like one thing, one signal goes, little electrical signal's going over to this board, and then it's going over to this thing. It's not really like a computer program. It's a whole bunch of physical electrical wires just doing stuff.
Man, crazy. Well, I don't want to take up all of your night. I thank you for chatting with us as long as you have. Do you want to throw out some final sales pitches? Tell us all the platforms that Stern Pinball Arcade is on, coming to, prices, all this other fun stuff. Sell us the game.
Yeah, okay. Well, Stern Pinball Arcade, it just released for PS4, and it should be coming to Xbox One next pretty soon. It's going to have Star Trek, Mustang, AC/DC, Ghostbusters, and many more to come, as well as some classic Sterns that will also be added. You can get a contemporary table, one of the newer Sterns, for $10, $9.99, or you can get a classic table for $4.99, or you can buy them in packs for pretty much like 40% off, I think. Not exactly, but it's pretty close. And yeah, just stay tuned for that. The platforms that we're going to be coming out on, we will be on Steam for PC and Mac, I believe. On the Oculus Rift, not too long from now. We're actually updating the Gear VR today to include Mustang. So if you guys have a Gear VR, go ahead and download the update today, and that'll be available. And then we'll be out on Xbox One, I said, and Wii U.
I was going to ask if it's still in the works for Wii U, because I know a lot of people are starting to get away from that platform and focus. Are you guys looking at the Switch at all?
I don't know if we're looking at it yet, but I think that these VR platforms... Oh, actually, the Switch is not a VR platform, but I'm sure it will have VR support. But yeah, we are looking at it, and I don't think we've made like an official announcement that we'll be on it or not, but I think it'd be cool if we were. It's also going to be out on Google Play and iOS. So
there's any,
going
to be... any hope for Windows Phone users?
I don't know. I don't think so. Not right now.
I miss out on everything.
Yeah. And then things to look for on Pinball Arcade. We're going to be releasing this a week from today. It's going to be an EM 2-pack. So for those of you guys out there that really like the EMs, the older tables, we've got a pack out there for you that's coming. And then following that, we should have a Doctor Who Master of Time table, which is highly anticipated. Very cool new Doctor's voiceover from new actors and a completely redesigned Doctor Who table.
Anybody you had a D license for that one, or did you get everyone on board?
We've got everybody that's on the table is on board.
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Sounds awesome. So, again, thank you very much for doing this. Grant, thanks for dropping by as well. And
sure thing.
Keeping the conversation on pace. Do either of you have any final words to end the show?
Pinball forever, man. And thank you guys for having me.
Was that a Game Boy?
Yeah. No, it's like my text message.
That is awesome. I love your text sound.
Speaking of Tetris.